All the women, both the Native Americans and the pilgrims, had prepared all the food, and they cooked all the food, and they served all the food. And after they did all that, then they had to start cleaning up. And while they were cleaning up, the men who were there, both the Native Americans and the pilgrims, they were actually engaged in some sports, competitive sports. That's what they did at the first Thanksgiving. And so get the picture of that, right? The women are cleaning up, and the men are either playing or watching sports. And one of the pilgrim women turns to the other and says, "I hope they don't make this a tradition." But the first recorded Thanksgiving feast happened in the United States in 1621. A year before that, in 1620, a ship left from Plymouth, England, a ship called the Mayflower. There's 102 passengers on board that ship, to come to a village that they called Plymouth, Massachusetts. And they came in search for religious freedom and the possibility of land and financial prosperity in the New World. And it's a very familiar story to all of us, I'm sure. But did you know that the pilgrims hold an important part in church history? They separated themselves from the Church of England, and they were reformers. And when they came on board the Mayflower, they had with them a Geneva Bible. And so the pilgrims were the first to bring the Word of God to the American shores, and subsequently laid a foundation for what they wanted this new world to be like. And it started a tradition here in the United States of remembering to thank the Lord for all His blessings and to thank Him in all circumstances. And so enjoy the food, and enjoy the football, and enjoy the parade, and enjoy the company, but don't forget to realize what the whole purpose of it is all about, which is to give thanks to the Lord. The scripture that I want to look at tonight, by the way, John, is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 17. If you want to follow along in your Bible, you can. It's Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And here's how Luke writes it. Luke 17, starting at verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As He entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest, to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" And then he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking Him for what He had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you," or "your faith has made you well." So it starts off and it says that Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem. He's going toward Jerusalem. Why is Jesus going toward Jerusalem? He knows there he's going to be arrested, he's going to be tortured, he's going to be crucified. And Jesus knows what awaits him, yet he continues toward Jerusalem. For you, for me. He continues towards Jerusalem. And on the way, he reaches the border between, it says, Galilee and Samaria. Now, the Samaritans were not Jews. They were hated by the Jews. They were kind of half-breed. They weren't full Jews. So the Jews didn't even consider them Jews. And they hated them, especially the leaders, especially the Pharisees. They didn't want anything to do with those people. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even go through their through Samaria. They would rather go out of their way, far out of their way, and go around Samaria rather than go through Samaria. That's how much they despise those people. But not Jesus. Jesus never despised anyone. Jesus loved all people. And he came for all people. So Jesus goes through Samaria, rather than avoiding it, rather than shunning those people. And as he entered one of the villages there in Samaria, there was 10 men with leprosy, or some other skin disease. And they stood at a distance, which they were required to do. If you had leprosy, you were required to stay. If you saw someone coming from a distance, you would have to call out to them, "Unclean! I'm over here, don't come near me, I'm unclean." They had to yell that out. And so that's what you would think that they would do, because that's what they were required to do. But these lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, Teacher," or "Jesus, Sir, would you please have mercy on us?" They had heard about Jesus. They had heard that he was in the area. They had heard that he was a different kind of a teacher, a different kind of a leader. They had heard stories about his miracles, that he even healed people. They heard that he was a man of compassion. And when they saw him, they cried out, "Jesus, Sir, have mercy on us." And what they heard was true. Jesus came for all people. We talked about it last night in our men's group, that Jesus came for the rich and for the poor, for the healthy and the sick, for the popular and for the outcast, for the religious and for the non-religious. He came for those who thought they were good, and those who knew they were sinners. He came for all. And for every one of them, he says to them, "Follow me. Come and get to know me. I call all of you to come and know me." And so Jesus hears them crying out for mercy, and he looks at them and he says to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." Now, why did Jesus say that? Well, first of all, that's what was required. It's found in Leviticus chapter 14. And I'm just going to read verses 2 through 4. It's actually a long section there of the what was involved when someone had leprosy or some other skin disease. But here's what it says in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. "The following instructions are for those seeking ceremonial purification from skin disease. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest. And the priest will examine them at a place outside the camp. If the priest finds that someone has been healed of a serious skin disease, then he will perform a purification ceremony. And then it continues on from there and it tells you what was involved, what the priest would have to do, until finally he would come to a place where he can declare that this person was indeed healed. And so under the Old Testament law, anyone who had any kind of skin disease and claimed to be healed, it had to be verified by the priests. And so Jesus says to them, well, go to the priests. But what's also odd about Jesus saying that is that it doesn't appear that he's healed them yet. He didn't say, you are now healed, so go show yourself to the priest, as the Lord says, as the law says. He just says, go and show yourself to the priests. And I wondered what they were thinking. I mean, were they thinking, all right, I guess we'll head over to the priest. I don't know why, but I guess we'll go see the priest. Why does he want us to see the priest? Were they thinking, well, maybe it was a measure of faith for them to say, well, even though we're not healed yet, he said to go, so I guess we'll go. Maybe you're going to be healed when we get to the priest. Were they maybe thinking, what a disappointment. We thought he was going to heal us. Instead, he just tells us to go to the priest, not to go to him. We thought that he'd be the one we should go to. We thought that he'd be the one who'd have mercy on us. He tells us to go, to leave him alone and go to a priest. So I wonder what they were thinking. But the scripture says that as they went, they were cleansed of the leprosy. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And I can just imagine the joy. These are people who were like outcasts. No one would go near them. No one would touch them. No one wanted to be around them. And these nine men are celebrating on the road, and they, as they go to see the priests. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Just like you guys are doing tonight, some of you are doing tonight. Thank God for what he has done. And then he falls down on the ground before Jesus, at Jesus' feet with his face to the ground, because he wants to thank this man, Jesus, as well. Because by his word, he's had this healing. And then Luke adds, kind of like, by the way, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't one of our Jewish brothers, by the way. He was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan that came back to give thanks to God and this man Jesus. And so Jesus says to him, didn't I heal 10 of you? Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan? And once again, Jesus must be disappointed with his own people and their lack of acceptance and faith. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation. I know people have been in situations like this, and probably in the past I've probably been in situations as well, where you're in some kind of crisis and you cry out to God, oh God, you know, if you just get me through this, if you get me through this, I promise I'll start going to church, or I'll go to church more, or I'll be more committed to you. You make all kinds of promises to God, if you'll only get me through this. And then God gets you through it, but you never really keep your promise. Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe like me, you've done that in the past. Only one returns to give thanks and give glory to God. And why? Why do we even give thanks to God? Well, we give thanks to God for a lot of reasons. We give thanks to God because it's part of worship. It's part of showing worth towards Him. It's part of praise. We give thanks to God because He's God and we're not. We give thanks to God because He's a skillful creator of all things. We give thanks to God because He is good. We give thanks to God because He is faithful. We give thanks to God because His love endures forever. We give thanks to God because He's great. We give thanks to God because He is near, especially in times of need. We give thanks to God for His wonderful good deeds that He has done, for His mighty miracles. We give thanks to God who graciously answers prayer. We give thanks to God because He has blessed us with so many things. And we don't want to take Him or the blessings that He gives us for granted. We thank God because it's His will that we give Him thanks. In all circumstances, not for all circumstances, in all circumstances. We give thanks to God for the wonderful people He has put in our lives that we shared here tonight. And we give thanks to God because it pleases God when we give thanks to Him. I think John said that when there was that one person who came back, and Jesus was so pleased with that person that came to give glory to God. There's only one out of the 10 that comes back. But something wonderful happens to this one man, this Samaritan, something that he would never forget for the rest of his life, something that would change his life forever in ways that are much more profound than the others experienced, more than just the healing of leprosy. Because Jesus says to him, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. By coming back and giving thanks, this man has this personal time with Jesus. This personal moment in his life with Christ. This divine encounter. And it's interesting the word that Jesus uses here when he says, you have been healed. Because the Greek word that's translated healed, or in some other versions it says well, that word really means more than a physical healing. It means to be saved, to be delivered, to be made whole. That's what that word means. And the word faith that's used there means that you have a conviction of the truthfulness of God. And you have reliance on Christ to save you. So this man, he experienced much more. This man was made whole physically, emotionally, and spiritually as he has this encounter with Christ. Because Jesus was not so much concerned about being thanked as he was about this man understanding what had happened. The 9 went off, and I'm sure they were glad. They weren't free. Free of leprosy, yes, but not necessarily free. Not free from sin through the salvation that Jesus could offer. But this one man, this Samaritan, he experienced something much different. He was freed. Freed from much more than leprosy. So Jesus sent him on his way with the knowledge that his faith had made him whole. He not only had a restored body, his soul had been restored that day. Truly something to be thankful for. Giving thanks to God frees us. It frees us from arrogance. When we give thanks, we learn not to be arrogant. It frees us from pride. When we give thanks, it teaches us. We learn not to be prideful. It frees us from discouragement. When we give thanks, we won't be discouraged. It frees us from bitterness. We learn not to be bitter. When we learn to give thanks. And to give thanks gives us another opportunity to draw near to the presence of Christ and be made whole. And so I hope that Thursday and every day, just take the time to stop. We need to learn how to find time during the day to just stop and be with God. We need to find time to do that. You need to do that a couple of times a day. It'll help you for the rest of the day to just keep Christ in the center of everything that you're doing. So we need to learn how to do that. But it's great to have a time like Thanksgiving that should be more than just the food and the game, parade or whatever. I mean, some people spend the whole day of Thanksgiving and never give thanks to anybody. At least don't give thanks to God. But we need these opportunities to just stop and to give thanks to God for all that He can do in our lives. I just want to close in prayer with you tonight. I thank you for being here and helping us to share this time together and to worship the Lord together. It's great. It's always great to come together and to share times like this. So I thank you for coming. So if you would stand with me, I'll close in prayer and bless you and let you go. Almighty God, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything you do in our lives, Lord. Lord, have mercy on us. May we never forget to give you thanks. Lord, may we draw near to you. Be filled with your presence every moment of every day. And may you work in us, Lord, and through us, that people would see you through our lives. And people would hear our thanksgiving through our lives as we share with them great things that you have done in our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, your blessing upon each and every one that is here tonight, Lord, and everyone that's a part of our family, our church family. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one. I pray that, especially Thursday, it would be a time to just enjoy the company of the people, the loved ones that they're with. Certainly some of us will miss loved ones who are not going to be with us. Yet, Lord, even with that, we have this hope. And we thank you that they are with you, Lord, in a better place. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just bless that day and be blessed on that day and every day as we pause to give you thanks. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing as we leave this place tonight, remembering that we never, ever leave your presence, that you are always with us. And for that, too, we give you thanks. Jesus, we can never find enough words to thank you for all that you have done for us. We are so grateful, Lord. We love you. And Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Lord bless you and